Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of August, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. The state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa will be along to talk to us a little bit about conditions in their states. I urge you to pay attention, especially to the Iowa statistician and the update she gives about that particular corn crop. I think it's important to listen to. That comes up later in the program. And then as we close out our program together, we'll talk about the weather forecast and what it will mean for the crop in the next week or so with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. On this Tuesday afternoon, September corn down 4 cents at $3.56. December at $3.65, a settlement price 2.5 cents lower. In the March at $3.78.5, down two. May futures in the corn pit at $3.86 3/4, down a penny and 3/4. In July of next year at $3.93.5, 2 cents lower. September futures $4.5, down a penny and a half. And December of next year at $4.08, down 1.25 for the day. From the soy complex, nearby beans were down 50.25 today at 10.75.5. November at 10.28, down 1.5. January at 10.35.5, a half lower. And the March contract, 1/4 lower at 10.42.25. May futures in the bean pit, a settlement price 0.25 cents higher. July up a penny and 1/4 at 10.52.75. In November at 10.40.25. That finished 0.75 cents higher. Bean meal futures on the afternoon finished $17.40 lower at $388.70, and bean oil for the day up 29 cents at $33.03. Live cattle futures at $153, up 25 cents in the August. October at $148.30, were up 15 cents. Feeder cattle finished the October contract 50 cents higher at $212.25. And the lean hogs for the day in the October, up $1.62.5 at $95.07. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. We see them now trading. The nearby contract at $93.92. That's up 57 cents for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.84.5, 0.8 cents higher. And gasoline and the RBOB or wholesale price at $2.76.3. That is 0.3 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.92.6, 0.1 cents lower on the day. And ethanol futures at $2.12.5, down 2.8 cents. In the energy or in the financial markets for the afternoon, we see that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is now trading at 17,110. That's up 54 points. The October gold at $1,284 is about $6.75 higher. The U.S. dollar index at 82.685 is up 0.92 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 30% chance of showers, some thunderstorms, and we'll see partly sunny skies, a high of 89 degrees. The heat index values as high as 100 out of the northwest winds at 6 miles an hour. And then tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 69 degrees. Again, northwest winds at about 6 miles an hour. They'll turn to the northeast. That after midnight and on Wednesday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, a high of 86 degrees on a northeast wind at about 6 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, and a low of 66 north winds at 6 miles an hour. Thursday, a 30% chance of showers, partly sunny and 84, a low of 69 on Thursday night. And Friday, again, a 30% chance of rainfall. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's check the futures markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace and what happened in the beans, at least the nearby contract.
Well, I think, you know, we saw the start of the collapse yesterday as the funds decided they need to liquidate their position down before first notice day on Friday, and also that we saw some basis levels break when finally a few cash beans did begin to move into the port and into some of the processors yesterday. And when that happened, why we saw the September, which is not really a good to use as far as needing quick shipment beans, because they wouldn't be getting them till the 20th of September, and new beans will be ready then. So the big difference sort of has caused the collapse.
And so that collapse appears that it did not have much of an impact on the November on out, though, or I'm mistaken in what I'm seeing at the end of the day.
No, it really didn't. I mean, and basically what it amounts to is, you know, we were trading a lot higher. We're still 50 cents higher on the September than the November's now. And we will see some premium shipments or premium basis bids on the based end of the November for a quick shipment here over the next 1, 2, or 3 weeks as we come up here, Todd, and depending on how soon we can fill this pipeline. But they don't want to raise the November price on up a lot, because they don't want people to hang in there for delivery that can do it at the end of halfway through the month of November, when we've got a glut of beans.
Does this mean anything for producers, farmers who might have beans that they still own on old crop, or if they can deliver new crop?
Well, I think, there's going to be still some good basis levels. I think most everybody is bidding off the November now, or most everybody is. They were still bidding off September in some cases. I think that earlier rather than later is going to be the best time to sell some beans, at least cash beans, along the way. And I think that if you had some old crop beans, I think you still had the chance to get close to $13 here just the end of last week. And, like I say, the big premiums are probably gone away compared to what they were just 5 days ago.
Corn slid a few more cents again today.
You know, great weather, more rain in the dry areas, just continuing, the pro farmer tour sort of sized up and said it's a big crop. And everything moving along that way, and no real, sales as far as corn goes along the way. I think that we're going to go down and, press into this 350 type area and then probably trade sideways here, Todd. We did notice a little bit of, resistance and a little bounce back towards the end of the day in both the corn and the bean market today. But I think overall this weather and the way everything is, it looks like we'll grind a little bit lower, and then we're going to see what does hold along here. So, the 350, I think, will hold for a little while.
Any final statement before I let you go for the afternoon?
Good growing weather and everything along the way, it's going to be awfully hard to put a rally together right now.
And we'll see you tomorrow evening in Ashmore, Illinois, at 5 o'clock for the Farm Credit Illinois Ag Outlook and ARC PLC program.
Yeah, looking forward to that, and be looking forward to seeing a lot of the listeners out there.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of the 24th day of August, that would have been Sunday, 83% of the corn crop across the nation had entered the dough stage. That's running ahead of the five-year average of 78%. However, the corn in the dense stage is only at 35% compared to the rolling five-year average of 43%. 52% of the corn crop in the 18 reporting states is in good condition, 21% and excellent. That's one percentage point in the combined categories, good to excellent, better than it was in the previous week. Soybeans are now 90% potted. That compares to 89% on the rolling five-year average. The condition of the crop is 52% good, 18% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 54% and 17%, respectively. Now, here are the updates from the statisticians in Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Katie Andall, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Much-needed precipitation limited field work to 4.2 days suitable across Iowa during the week. Iowa experienced varied temperatures this week with a high of 92 degrees at Sioux City and Stanley on Friday and a low of 56 degrees at Stanley on Wednesday. Temperatures for the week averaged 4 degrees below normal. Rain fell somewhere in the state throughout the entire week. The heaviest rains fell Monday over the north-central part of Iowa and Saturday over south-central Iowa. Total rain for the week varied from 0.33 inches at Persia to 7 inches at Greenfield. Average precipitation for the week was 1.85 inches, double the normal amount. This was Iowa's wettest week in 7 weeks. Increasing 8 percentage points from last week, topsoil moisture levels rated 77% adequate to surplus, while subsoil increased 3 points to 75%. 88% of Iowa's corn acreage was in the dough stage or beyond, 17 days ahead of 2013 and 8 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn in the dent stage reached 33%, 25 percentage points above last year, but 9 points below normal. Three-quarters of the corn crop was reported in good to excellent condition. 94% of the soybean acreage was setting pods or beyond, 13 percentage points above the previous year and 1 point above average. With a few farmers reporting soybean leaves starting to turn color, 73% of the soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois was warm and wet last week. The pattern of cool weather changed significantly, and the state averaged almost 4 degrees above normal temperature for the week. Rainfall was also above normal last week. The state average was 1.41 inches, almost 3/4 of an inch above normal. Southeastern parts of the state had some localized flooding. 48% of corn acres are now dented, compared to 27% last year and 53% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 4% very poor or poor, 14% fair, and 82% good or excellent. 94% of soybean acres are now setting pods, compared to 82% last year and 88% for the five-year average. The crop was rated as 4% in very poor or poor condition, 18% fair, and 78% in good or excellent condition. 93% of the oats crop is harvested, 58% of sorghum acres are turning color, and 67% of the third cutting of alfalfa hay is now complete. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Jessica Klett with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending August 24, 2014. Heavy but scattered rain provided relief to some farmers while others experienced flooding and crop damage in various regions of the state. The statewide average temperature for the week was 76.4 degrees, 4.1 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.1 to 9.18 inches, with a statewide average of 2.37 inches. Corn doughing is 82% versus 74% last year and 81% five-year average. Corn dented is 41% versus 20% last year and 39% five-year average. Corn mature is 3% versus 0% last year and 5% five-year average. Corn mature is 3% versus 5% five-year average. Many farmers consider their corn too far along to benefit from the increased rains. Soybean pods are 94% set, compared to 90% last year and 87% five-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves are at 3%, compared to 3% five-year average. Soybean setting pods received much-needed moisture, although excess water and humidity in the fields contributed to increased SDS and foliar lesions in certain counties. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending August 24, 2014. This is Jessica Klett reporting.
Our thanks, of course, to the state statisticians in Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa for their weekly updates. You know, the debate is on. Farm Country wants to know just how big this U.S. corn crop might be when harvested this fall. And harvested is the important word in the mix now. I'll have more in a moment on how the number of harvested acres affects the size of the crop, no matter the average yield, big or small. The number of corn acres harvested in the United States has ranged from about 2.4 million acres less to 750,000 more than the USDA June acreage forecast, that's since 1996. The average difference from June to the final USDA forecast in January for harvested acres over that time span is a decline of about 400,000 acres. A University of Illinois ag economist, Earl Good, says the estimate actually dropped in 13 of the last 18 years.
The larger declines were in years of late planting, but not all late planted crops resulted in large declines. During the same time period, the final estimate of soybean planted acreage ranged from 1.5 million acres less to 1.2 million acres more than the June forecast. The difference exceeded 1 million acres in 6 of the 18 years. The average difference was for a small decline of 140,000 acres. However, the final estimate was below the June forecast in 11 of the 18 years.
This year, a larger percentage of the corn crop was planted late. This has some implications based on the historical data.
A late planted crop, along with the historical tendency for the final estimate of acreage to be less than the June forecast, suggests that the final estimate this year will also likely be below the June forecast. The average difference in the 13 previous years of a drop in acreage estimates from June to final was 690,000 acres.
The range was wide, from 28,000 to 2 million. Darrell Good says he would not be surprised if this year's corn acreage dropped 500,000 to 700,000 acres. On the flip side of that coin, soybeans, there's not much to go on in the historical patterns. Still, if you really look, you might find a slight tendency for the final estimates to be less than the June forecast. In the years this actually happened, the average drop was about 700,000 acres. Good says he expects harvested acreage for both crops to decline from the current USDA forecast. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, this week in Iowa, the Farm Progress Show starts, in fact, today. And Steve Freed from ADM Investor Services is on site and has been talking to producers and farmers and landowners over the last several hours. And now on the phone line with us to tell us what he's been finding out from producers in the state of Iowa and other parts of the world. I expect, Steve, thanks for taking the time. What have you heard from farmers and landowners today?
Well, you know, I think they're concerned about prices. Here in Iowa, they feel their crops are a little bit more spotty than maybe in Illinois. In the northwest corner, probably had too much rain early, and then some of the eastern parts missed some of the rains this year. But you know, they're for a very good crop, but probably not as good as it could be.
And your expectations of the crop when you traveled from Chicago to Iowa, I'm going to guess that you were on the ground as opposed to on the air. Either way, you probably got a look at the crop.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean, I think that, you hear a lot of people talk about how big is big and from a price standpoint, how low is low. And the market feels that eventually these corn yields and bean yields will get bigger than what the USDA is saying, and that could put some pressure on prices.
I heard from the state statistician just a few moments ago on our air here at WILL, willag.org, that the rainfall last week in Iowa did a lot more to help that crop than to hurt it. Are farmers feeling better about in those areas where they were struggling a bit with some drier conditions?
I think they feel that it's maybe a little late to help the corn. It could kind of finish things out, but it certainly will help the beans. I think we've got a kind of series of storms lined up tonight and tomorrow, and I think a little bit of concern that some of the areas might get too much rain now. So I think in general, this is going to help the bean crop quite a bit.
When you look forward and think about prices in the futures, do you see a sideways to lower, or just a lower move in the marketplace?
Well, when we look at some of the seasonalities in which years and carryouts increasing as much as you have, you tend to make low in corn market in November when we're liquidating the December corn open interest. And then, you tend to go sideways after that. And I think the key there is just how big the crop gets. I mean, if it doesn't really get any bigger, we don't really need to go down any lower. But, if we start getting U.S. average yield over 170, we probably need to establish a little lower base. And the beans, you look back, and we tend to make our lows in March. It's kind of a grind lower, confirmation that we got through the freeze, confirmation that, we did have this 400 carryout that the government's talking about, confirmation that good weather in South America, because one of the things that probably helps beans more than corn is that China wants to buy a lot of our beans. And that kind of gives a little bit of a premium in the market versus what maybe some of the numbers suggest. Yeah, I think that 2015, the farmers, as far as adding revenue to the bottom line, they're going to have to try to do some base hits rather than wait for a home run. And I, you know, they haven't had to do that for a while. So, you know, it'd be good to sit down and talk to them and kind of get a feel of you know, what their expectations are. Because looking at for 2015 right now, they could be planting a crop next year below cost.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Fried is from ADM Investor Services. He spoke to us from Boone, Iowa, and this year's edition of the Farm Progress Show.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take time now to talk about the agricultural energy markets. Dan O'Brien is on the phone line. He's at K-State University. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about the profitability in the ethanol market at the moment.
Well, Todd, as the price of the main input, i.e. corn, has continued to go down, we've seen the projected profitability for plants on paper right now, and no doubt in real life, maintain that. Looking at the Iowa plants, so about two-thirds of the way through August, with our calculations, we're still making about 50 cents, just under 50 cents per gallon for ethanol, and actually even for biodiesel, making about 11 cents. That'd just be for the second month in a row, 11, 12 cents per gallon. So anyway, thought-provoking. I think sure brings up the question of where this market goes, where the profitability of plants will go as we head off into the fall, as we anticipate, unless we get surprised that we'll have quite a bit of lower cost corn around for people to for people in ethanol plants to work with, and that'll just be a matter of how we balance the increased supply versus what we hope to have as some type of stable demand off in the ethanol market.
Is there any clue into where the ethanol market and profitability might go in the disparity between, for instance, the states of Illinois, Indiana, maybe Nebraska, South Dakota, and how much local supply is left in the marketplace? Is Illinois maybe less profitable at this point, for instance, than someplace else out west?
Well, at least as you look to see right now, on the selling price side, the prices listed in the National Weekly Ag Energy Roundup, the USDA AMS market news number, would show that the ethanol prices in Illinois are about $2.25 a gallon. That's about anywhere from 15 to 5 cents greater than it is for off into Iowa and Nebraska, lower as well. So I guess we folks to the west are looking enviously towards you folks in the east with regard to the price of your ethanol. Of course, the price of corn comes into play, too. Your corn prices are just a little bit higher than, in Illinois. You're listed as about 360 to 405 in western Iowa, 327 to 373 off here into Kansas. So much depends on whether you're a market center out in southwest Kansas or not. We're ranging from as low to somewhat higher, depending, again, if you're near a feedlot or one of the more distanced western Kansas feedlots. So ethanol plants. So anyway, I think as we head off into fall, it looks like, again, we'll have abundant supplies of low-cost corn to work with, I think when you look at also amount of ethanol that's being produced, we're not seeing anything dropping automatically yet. So as we go forth, it's very likely we'll have quite a bit of supply heading off in the fall.
Thanks much.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from It's LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Cherry Popsicle Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1784, Stephen McCormick was born. An American inventor, he was the first to produce a practical cast iron plow with detachable parts. His cast iron board also had an adjustable wrought iron point mounted beneath. able to decrease the draft while deepening the furrow. Before that, he increased the productivity of a water-powered grist mill by improving the shape of the lower millstone. In 1800, Félix Pouchet was born. A French naturalist, he was one of those who believed that life was created from non-living matter in processes such as fermentation and purification. He was, of course, eventually proved wrong. In 1856, William Henry Perkin received a patent for dyeing silk, cotton, wool, or other materials with a purple or lilac synthetic dye, the first synthetic dye ever produced. In 1900, Hedley Marson was born. An Australian biochemist, he spent three decades with his colleagues researching the role of cobalt and other trace elements in animal and plant nutrition. He discovered that ailing sheep often recovered when given cobalt salt supplements. And in 1950, Ranson Olds died, an American inventor. His progressive assembly line in automotive production foreshadowed modern mass production methods. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon. Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, is on the phone line to take up the weather forecast. Hi, Don. How are you today?
Doing good.
And tell me about the forecast. It's been hot. We've had rain, a lot of rain in a few spots, and I'm wondering what it will be like the rest of the week across the Midwest.
Well, a lot of the same. We're going to continue with the very warm temperatures. We'll be able to add up a lot of growing degree days and heat units across Midwest and Corn Belt, and we're going to have some more opportunities for shower and thunderstorm activity as well. So it's kind of a nice mix that we're seeing right now of some heat and a little bit of precipitation.
And as we go forward over the two-week period, do we cool down at some point?
Well, we will cool down a little bit. Looks like after Labor Day weekend, we'll have a couple of cool fronts push, especially in the Western Corn Belt areas. But right now, the way the month of September looks to be shaping up is that the coolest weather will be over the northern plains, the northern and central Rockies, and into the desert southwest, while areas along and east of the Mississippi look to be starting off September with temperatures maybe slightly above normal, not too far from normal values. So we don't see a big cool down yet, at least for the next 10 to 14 days.
They are doing some harvest in the southern part of the United States, the Delta region, and of course in the Texas area. What kind of conditions will they be working under?
Looks pretty good. There's going to be a little bit of thunderstorm activity at times moving into those areas, but not to the extent that I think it's going to cause any delay.
And have you looked around the rest of the planet and have concerns, for instance, in China or other growing regions in the northern hemisphere?
Well, not from what we're seeing on the charts today. Right now, if we take a look at China, they're looking at temperatures not far from normal over most of that country, and pretty good chances of some precipitation as well, but nothing that's going to be excessive. And if we look over in Europe, it's sort of a similar weather pattern. Europe has been pretty cool, especially the western areas of Europe, but it's going to be a little bit warmer and even amounts of precipitation scattered about most of that time.
Don, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Some things that are coming up tonight. I'll be in Sherman, Illinois at the Farm Credit Illinois office. That's at 1200 Tipton School Road there in Sherman. Jonathan Kappas, University of Illinois ag economist and policy specialist, will be along to explain the ARC and PLC decision. Tomorrow night, I will be at the Seed Shed in Ashmore, Illinois. That's near Kansas and down by Effingham, between there and Paris, in fact, on Route 16, starting at 5 o'clock, again, sponsored by the Farm Credit Illinois office in Paris, Illinois this time. Gary Schnitke will be along. He'll explain the ARC and PLC decision, the early on assumptions they have. That's not completed yet, and you won't have to make it until January of next year, probably. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities will be with me. So will Jackie Vakes tomorrow night, that at the Seed Shed in Ashmore, Illinois. And then next week, I'll be in Watsika on Wednesday night and Mahomet on Thursday night. And then on Friday of next week, I'll host Purdue University's Agronomy Day. That's at the Beck Agricultural Center just outside of West Lafayette, Indiana on US 52 West. I hope you can take a look at all the information on all of those programs. That's up on our website, and there's even more to do there, too. Look in the Outlook Meetings calendar schedule. That's the link over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'll see you tonight in Sherman if you're there, or tomorrow night in Ashmore. Have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.